2. Greenwich Planning and Zoning Commission met last night, and I'm joined on the line by Director of P&Z, Katie DeLuca. Good morning, Katie. Welcome. How are you doing this morning?
I'm well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Give us some of the highlights of last night's meeting.
Well, we started with the Innisarden Golf Club, and they're in the process of renovating their clubhouse. And so they asked to install a tent where they could maintain some of the activities that they've had at the clubhouse previously. It's kind of 2-month increments. So they want to do it from March to May and then take it down and then put it back up in the fall from October to December and then a couple of months next year so that they can keep activities going. And that was approved with a few conditions about noise and food prep and that kind of thing. Then we moved to the main application of the night, or I should say at least the most popular one, which was the 5 Brook Ridge Affordable Housing Project. This is a preliminary site plan and special permit, so it is designed to be just guidance to the applicant. This is an application that is not measured by our zoning regulations, but rather if there is a public health and safety issue that outweighs the need for affordable housing. There's considerable issues raised by other town departments about public health and safety issues, namely sewer, traffic and drainage issues. Fire department issues, all things that the applicant says that they can work on and figure out. But the main problem with this application, or issue at least, is that they cannot have a septic system large enough to support 86 units, and they have intentions to petition the Commissioner of Public Works to connect into the sewer system, which is problematic at the moment because it is not within the sewer boundary. So there is a process pursuant to the town charter for one to get into the sewer boundary, but there are 7 things that the commissioner will have to look at in order to determine whether or not that's appropriate. One is whether this application complies with zoning, which clearly it does not, and it doesn't need to, and also whether or not this is part of whether or not this conforms with the plan of conservation and development, and whether or not there is a viable septic system. So it's a little bit confusing because the commission can't really move this project forward without knowing that there is adequate sewer, and they feel that they can't petition the commissioner without a finding from the commission. So it's a little bit of a catch-22 there, so that we're going to have to work through. But there was considerable public comment about all of the public health and safety issues that I noted before. So we got through that, and we left it open for all of those issues, but also for the attorney representing the applicant and also the attorney representing many of the neighbors to provide briefs on whether or not the statute that they're using, the 830G statute, whether or not that overrides things other than local zoning. So in other words, does it override the charter as it relates to this issue with the sewer? So we'll be looking forward to those briefs and moving forward with that.
And what was then, most of the public comment for or against the project?
Most of it was for affordable housing, but against the size of the development and the potential issues with traffic, given the accidents there and proximity to the traffic light and crowding and drainage issues. So there was, as I said, most of them were about the public health and safety issues that were raised by the department.
Okay. All right, what was next?
Next was a single-family home on a environmentally spectacular property on the water. And what's interesting, this is a Mead Point, and what's interesting about this property is that there is a tidal inlet which is owned by the state and is public, and that became the major point of contention for this application, because there's a bridge that was constructed from one part of the island to another, effectively. It's not really an island, but it closes off access to that tidal inlet that's part of the public trust. And that then has never been permitted by the state. However, the state did give them a permit in 2013 to shore it up. So that became very confusing. If, you know, they never gave the approval for it originally, but then they did kind of acknowledge its existence by giving the permit to shore it up. So the applicant did not want to convert to a preliminary, try to get this sorted out. So the commission had to close it due to the statutory timelines with this issue kind of looming still. So we'll just have to see how this plays out at a future meeting when the commission has to make a decision. But there was considerable discussion on this application last night. Then we didn't hear the 26 Homestead. That was postponed. Same with 22 Baldwin Farms. So then that led us to 733 Lake Avenue, which was to construct a small addition on a property that has a historic overlay zone designation, and that was approved. And then we had two text amendments that was submitted by staff. One was dealing with Section 6-99 in our accessory housing regulations. And if you recall, Tony, about within the last year, we've made other changes to this section that we thought would make the apartments more attractive to people, because we do want to promote these within the community. And what we did last night was kind of take a last step on that and include people with disabilities as one of the criteria that could be added to the two that exist now, which is elderly and affordable. So if you want to have one of these in-law suites, so to speak, they have to be either for someone who is disabled, 62 years of age or older, or meets the state medium income, 80% of the state medium income. That was a change from last night also, to change it from area to state. It's a lower income level, but that also means that we will be able to count these units towards the state's definition of affordable housing and get closer to that 10% threshold that you hear me talk about pretty frequently. So this was approved, so that was good. Okay. And like I said, I would encourage people to call the department and learn about how these rules work if that is something that is of interest to them, so we are trying to promote them. And then lastly, that led us to the second text amendment for Section 6-100, which effectively for this outdoor dining season only, would allow people to come in pursuant to the House Bill 5271, which is titled An Act Concerning the Provision of Outdoor Food and Beverage Services and Outdoor Display of Goods. And what this is about outdoor dining, not the outdoor display of goods, but effectively this would allow us to have this similar type of outdoor dining that we've had the last 2 years. The big difference between that and zoning, outdoor dining, that we control locally is that you would not have to take out seats from your indoor restaurant space in order to have outdoor restaurant space. And we're going to be studying the impact of this pretty heavily over this whole season. The Department of Public Works has a parking study that they'll be doing, and we'll be doing some things with our interns over the summer also, and to see the impact on parking and just on residences and consumers and retailers, and just get a better idea of what it's like if there's little control in relatively speaking, at least. So that there was no fanfare there, and we also extended the outdoor dining season. It does start on April 1, and it goes to November 20th as opposed to November 1st. And that was based on a recommendation from the Board of Selectmen, so the commission reviewed it last night and approved it.
All right, then, that's good news, and just in time. Temperature is supposed to be in the 50s by Friday, April 1st.
Yes, oh, good.
Right. Now you had
then we had two quick discussion items. One was for Eagle Hill. They want to do some improvements on the property. That was well received. And then secondly, for the Beach House Cafe, who would like to add an outdoor dining patio in the back of their property. There were some issues that were raised that they'll have to address before they come back to the community. Commission with an application mostly having to do with access and deliveries and safety of people sitting back there. So I'm sure they can work that through, and we will see them at a future meeting.
All right. Mike, take a breath now. Three meetings in March. So when's the next meeting?
So the next meeting is April 12th. And on that meeting, we will be having another affordable housing project. This one is the one on Church Street, and I think that'll be one that takes up the majority of that meeting. Is there's similar to the one on Brookridge, a lot of public interest in that application.
Okay. Now, the hospital's coming back. Is that going to be at the next meeting or later on in the month?
No. The hospital has not made an application to planning and zoning yet. They are in the process of meeting with the neighborhood, and they have had one public meeting with the neighborhood, and there was overwhelmingly positive response to a revised plan that they've put together. The revised plan doesn't have any surface parking at all. It's all underneath the building, and that creates a more park-like setting for the proposal that they've put forth. That did make the building slightly taller. They have some specific issues that were raised by the people that were at that meeting, and they're following up with them on an individual basis. It's things really mostly about drainage. I have encouraged the hospital to reach out again to the neighborhood, because I think many of the people that spoke out against this application when it was before the commission unfortunately couldn't make that meeting. So it's really important that they get more feedback from the neighborhood on the plan and make any adjustments that are needed if they do intend to come back to the Planning and Zoning Commission. So they, as I said, we haven't received an application yet, and hopefully they'll get into a better comfort level with the neighborhood before they do that.
All right, fantastic. Katie, as always, thanks very much for your time. Long meeting, but a productive one, sounds like.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Have a great day. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
That's Katie DeLuca, Director of Planning and Zoning for the Town of Greenwich. Last night's P&Z meeting.